number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show. The lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you go friggin' nuts. Haven't got Freighter X, but we still have James Wright. And I'd like to take some callers as well from people. The number is 218-339-8525, 218-339-8525, if you've had a Masonic experience. And Masonic experience. It sounds like some kind of like a Beatles album or something like that, like the Magical Mystery Tour and the Inside, you know, secret album or something, the Masonic influence. But and this is something I also get from Freighter as well, is that Masonic imagery actually does have an effect, kind of like a subliminal imagery does have a residual effect on the mind. And apparently, according to him, it's been consciously inserted into media of all formats. And I'm a big Seth MacFarlane fan, like Cleveland Show and Family Guy, that kind of thing. And I swear to you, every single episode I have seen, in every single season, there is a Masonic floor somewhere, or a pyramid somewhere else, or something like that, or an all-seeing eye in the background. You know, there was a scene with Brian Griffin going to reach for a Richard Dawkins book, and he winds up meeting this girl there, and right behind him, right in the shot, purposely put there is a little all-seeing eye on one of the spines of the books that's actually in the center of the frame, where these two are interacting, talking about atheism and coming together on that regard. You know, and I can't help but thinking there's an intention behind it, and apparently there is. So they love to influence you in all little ways that you don't really recognize. Okay, like they've built your society. You have a look at pillars, for example. James, can you explain what an obelisk means in Freemasonic dark occulted mysticism?
Solar phallic worship, to put it bluntly.
Right. Now, anybody who's living in Auckland, New Zealand, sees this giant phallic object called the Sky Tower right in the center of the city. And not too far away from it is a suburb called One Tree Hill. In the middle of One Tree Hill, there is a giant Masonic pillar on the very top of that hill that is 33 meters tall on a tract of land that is 330 acres. So it's 33, 33, and then you've got the Masonic phallus, right? And I heard, and maybe you could corroborate this for me, James, that it's actually a kind of way of channeling energy from Lucifer down to the ground, like Lucifer meaning light and sun worship, kind of channeling it down. Is that how it is, or have I got this wrong?
Absolutely. The Supreme Council where I worked, from the street downtown, you walked up 7 steps, then 5, then 3, which are the prime numbers in masonry and sacred geometry. Then once you were in the main foyer of the building, it was 33 steps up to the next floor on the grand staircase. In the grand ballroom, you had 72 crystal chandeliers, 72 being the number of goetic demons. So to say that they take that stuff seriously is an understatement.
So, And again, going back to the New Zealand example, I've driven much of the length of the country and gone through many small towns. And in almost every single town, there is a little spire in the center. That might be a clock tower, or it might simply be a monument. But sure enough, they're all there. And you go through graveyards in New Zealand, and you see these big Masonic monuments that are sticking right out as gravestones. And you see all the other ones that are kind of low to the ground and rounded, as you would see a traditional gravestone. And so we're surrounded by this imagery, absolutely surrounded by it. It has a intent to influence us, at least. Is that the case? What do they believe that channeling these energies actually accomplishes?
Well, that belief has changed, historically speaking. I mean, going back to Samaria, Babylon, et cetera, you know, they believed it channeled this or that, or ley lines, or the pyramids having been antenna themselves, at least according to the Rosicrucians. Nowadays, it's more like what they call the Dan Brown effect. When the Dan Brown novels and movies first came out, the Supreme Council was very upset. They did not like, they felt that it was going to cast a negative light on Masonry as a whole, and so on. But then they saw the overwhelming response and interest that the public had to this, and they sort of rethought their attitude and decided, wait a minute, this is actually helping us, not hurting us. So they sort of ran with it. And that's now why I believe, you know, you have a lot of celebrities doing a lot of the hand signs and things like that. It's all sort of an unexpected gift of conditioning that fell into their lap. And so they're treating it as a gift and running with it. Absolutely, they are.
Well, what is this gift? I mean, is it like
making these symbols and words and phrases and everything else, household recognizable terminologies?
Well, this another thing. I think one of my listeners told me about this. Some guy, Naba Shibaya. Some dude came up with this phrase, Naba Shibaya, or something like that. And he says that if you say those words 10 times when you get up in the morning, it suddenly fills you with kind of energy, like it's some old magic word or something like that that activates your body.
Naba Shibaya is a swami incantation, yes.
And what does it mean and what does it do? Because there's two worlds, the physical and the metaphysical. And there may be more, but these are the ones that of which I've become acutely aware, at least. So I understand, of course, that there's a bit of crossover. So sometimes the metaphysical and the physical worlds are not strictly separate, and they in turn kind of bring things into other elements. Like somebody could be sitting there, I don't know if you've ever played a game called Diablo, where you could be either a warrior or a wizard or a bow warrior or something of that nature.
I think the word you're looking for is the occult word, what they call the crossroads.
A bridge between the worlds.
Yes.
Or in the movie Constantine, he that was water that he would use to travel to hell and turn himself into a conduit. And you see these concepts and imagery being perpetrated all throughout our society. So I was just wondering, is it that they are attempting to use the metaphysical to control the physical, rather than allow them to coexist?
That would be their goal. I mean, after all, George Washington, everybody reveres him as such a wonderful man. I'm not going to sit here and say he wasn't, but you look at the ceiling of the United States Senate building, and the artwork depicted up there is titled The Apotheosis of George Washington. So he commissioned it. And, you know, it's pretty evident that he thought of himself as a god, or rather having achieved, at the very minimum, a demigod status, you know, because of not only just being president, but his extremely high ranking in the Masonic order and, you know, so on and so forth. So, they have a tradition of thinking very highly of themselves, yes.
And I've always said for a long time, when somebody gets too full of themselves, they get too far ahead of themselves. Is there incidences where people who have delved so deeply into the occult, so deeply into the metaphysical, that they lost their frame of reference, that they went mad from it?
Oh, the most direct example of that I witnessed was when the fallout at the Scottish Rite occurred. I mean, here we had the so-called pillars of the community who were, if not my boss or my other sort of boss, or the people on the executive board and et cetera on the Supreme Council, these elder men, highly educated, highly dignified, refined, et cetera, behaving like absolute petty, jealous, cutthroat teenagers. It was just mind-blowing to see the levels of stupidity and immaturity and all that in this caliber of gentleman. It was something I've never seen before, that's for sure.
Now, I've had experiences like this as well with people who I will be telling real facts, you know, that I've got evidence to back up for. And they'll say things like, oh, it's all fate, or the spirits will save me, or we're being protected by the angels, or something of that nature. And they ignore the real physical reality that I'm talking to them about. I don't ignore the other possible metaphysical ramifications. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's kind of like if you're in touch with them up there, you suddenly forget that you're also in touch with me right here, bro. You know, it's like you've got to multitask, and some people don't like multitasking. They choose to believe that one overrides the other. And as a direct result, they become very rudderless. And they kind of, their mental state begins to degrade because it's like living in a delusional realm, essentially, where everything that you see is in direct contravention of your belief structure. And in so doing, you are, instead of accepting the fact that you're wrong, at least in some cases, you instead repeat and scream louder the wrong things in order to block out the things that are actually really there, that are really physical.
Yes, I saw it all the time. I mean, these guys would start to get their paintings or busts, bronze, plaques up on rooms to buildings and that sort of thing, and then that's when their attitude would certainly deteriorate. And one of the ones I came to blows with the hardest, who treated me extremely deplorably, when he was questioned about it from some of his colleagues, his response was, and I quote, "I don't make mistakes." Really? So you're comparing yourself to God? I mean, that was staggering to me. And but he sincerely believed it. So it's very sad.
Well, that's the madness, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I think it's like power doesn't corrupt you per se. Power simply drives you insane and causes you to lose touch. That's what it really is in a lot of ways.
That's putting it nicely, but yes, correct.
Yeah, and the insanity and the thoughtlessness usually manifests as scumbaggery. You know, it's just a natural progression. So let's talk about a deeper spiritual meaning here. We talk about churches, we talk about religious organizations, we talk about secret societies, and there's some sort of spiritual belief there. So I think that's a conclusion I'm suddenly reaching now, is that they really are trying to control the spirit world so that nobody else can really have access to it to a great degree, in essence, so that they can use their knowledge of the spirit world to affect the physical. But it doesn't work that way. It's kind of like a parallel dimensions and stuff like that. One does not override the other. There's a symbiotic relationship with it.
Well,
that's the disconnection. That's what drives the insanity, is that your world is suddenly no longer solid, and you think that the fluidity of it is real when it's not. And this goes for those in the higher levels of deep occult research or politics, just as much as it does for the general public sitting there watching a sitcom or a soap opera trying to live their lives through the characters. It's not real. So we've got a whole and this goes back to what David Icke was saying about the Gnostics writing about archontic entities, how they can create false realities and make other people kind of react to them or live in them, sort of thing.
Yes. Well, I was thinking about something else there, but now, yeah, David Icke, I mean, yes, that's very true. And I suppose one of the biggest paradigms that has to shift with all this is that waking up to that and being able to spot it for what it is, because so many people just walk right by these people and don't realize how dubious they are, and yet it's going on all around us. Their influence is the most far-reaching, pervasive, penetrative methodology I've ever seen in my life from a strategic standpoint. You know, it's going to take a lot. I'm just one guy. I can't, you know, single-handedly take them down myself. There has to be a much larger call for transparency on all this. So in that aspect, I agree with David Icke 100%. And yes, false realities, absolutely, they're experts at it. That's what the whole esoteric arts are about. I mean, you could say right now, the way that I've chosen to sort of hide myself out, I'm being a magician, in effect, because I'm appearing to be in two different places at once, you know, to throw them off. So they have very real applications to everyday life. But they love that.
Okay. Well, let's talk about those real applications, because again, I think it's like, you're trying to drive a wedge. Like, reality is a door, and the metaphysical is a door frame. And essentially what they're trying to do is drive a wedge in there so that they can get through your door, past your defenses. We'll be right back.